The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Our scripture today is Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly to the tent and to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the door of the tent behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I shall return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, oh, I did not laugh. For she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men sent out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy the city if I find 45 there. And he spoke to him again and said, suppose 40 are found there. Then he answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Perhaps 20 will be found there." And he answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The word of God for the people of God.
Hey, good morning. It is good to be with you this morning as we continue our journey through the life of Abraham together. My name is Trevor. I'm the student ministry director here at Coram Deo, and that means that I get to work with a team of volunteers to come alongside the parents of Coram Deo to help their students become wise, spiritually mature adults. That happens in a number of ways, but one of my favorite is that we get together every Sunday evening downstairs in the fellowship hall with middle school and high school students for teaching, discussion, and fun. We meet every Sunday from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And if you're a student within the sound of my voice this morning, I want to invite you to join us for that. I think that you'll have a lot of fun learning about God and studying the scriptures together with your peers. And if you're the parent of a student this morning, I would love to meet you and answer any questions you have about what we do. But one of the fun things about what I get to do here at Coram Deo is that I actually became a Christian as a 17-year-old high school student. I was playing football at Millard North High School at the time, and the Wanning family had the entire team over every Thursday night for Bible study and dinner right before our games. But these were no ordinary meals. We're not talking Domino's pizza here. We are talking high-caliber restaurant-quality meals. We had salmon, we had filet mignon, we had prime rib and lobster, and some of the best meals that a high school student could imagine. It was amazing. Imagine your typical gospel community or small group, but with 50 more people and way better food. I can still remember the first time that I went over to the Wanning's house for dinner. I was pretty reluctant to go, but I went because a friend of mine coaxed me into it. And I am really glad that I did, because it completely changed my life. After dinner that night, we were gathered around the fireplace and sitting on the floor to the left side of where the Wannings were at, stood right in front of us on the fireplace themselves. Marty, the wife, noticed that I had a big hole in my sock right at the big toe. Without hesitation, she reached over, stuck her fingers into the hole of that sock, and proceeded to rip it apart right in front of everybody. And then, after she got done laughing, she looked at me and said, "I'm sorry, what was your name again?" Now, you would think that I would be embarrassed. And normally I would have been. But for some reason, I wasn't. In fact, I had this strange sense that something significant was happening in my life in that moment. It was as if God had showed up right there in that living room. And I'm convinced today that he did, because I became a Christian through those dinners just a few months later. Have you ever had a moment like that, when God shows up in a way that you can't fully explain? The name of our church is Coram Deo. That's a Latin phrase that means before the face of God. And it's just a simple way of reminding us that we live all of life in God's presence, that God is always near to us. And that's true. But there are times when God shows up in ways that are surprising and purposeful. Genesis 18 is a moment like that for Abraham and Sarah. The opening verse of this chapter tells us that the Lord appeared to Abraham as he was sitting by the oaks of Mamre at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. You may recall the story of Abraham beginning way back in Genesis 12. And it said to us that God called Abraham to go from his country and his kindred and his father's house to the land that God would show him. At the time, God promised Abraham two things: land and offspring. Nearly two decades have passed since then, and Abraham and Sarah are literally in the same place that they started back in Genesis 13. by the oaks of Mamre, childless, and living in rental property. The two of them have been waiting on God for a long time. And just when it seems like the wait is never going to end, God shows up in a pretty mysterious way. And what we're going to see this morning is what happened when he does. We're going to see three things. We're going to see that when God shows up, he comes in grace. He comes with a purpose, and he often surprises us. Let's begin with when God shows up, he comes in grace. The text tells us that Abraham is sitting at the door of his tent, enjoying his afternoon rest, when three dudes show up out of nowhere. So Abraham runs to meet them and invites them over for an afternoon meal, because why not? What else are you supposed to do when you see three strange men that you don't know walking down the street in the middle of the afternoon? You invite them over for dinner. That's what you do. But after the meal, the Lord strikes up some casual conversation with Abraham, because, you know, that's the polite thing to do, even if you're God. Sarah, on the other hand, is eavesdropping from behind the tent, a tent door, and she hears God tell Abraham that she is going to have a son before the year is up. And what does Sarah do? Look at verse 12. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" Don't miss what's happening here. 2 decades have passed since God showed up in Abraham and Sarah's life back in Genesis 12 and promised him that he would become a great nation through his barren wife, Sarah. Shortly after that, Abraham gives Sarah over to the Egyptians because he's afraid that they're going to kill him because of her beauty. Not too long after that, 10 more years of waiting, and Sarah grows impatient. In her unbelief, she convinces Abraham to sleep with a maid in the hopes that the maid is going to become a surrogate for Sarah. The maid then turns around, and after she finds out that she's pregnant, curses Sarah, and a family feud follows. Now, yet another decade has passed. Sarah is 90 years old, and there's still no sign of a son. This is a woman who has been waiting on a promise for 25 years. Her husband threw her under the bus, she gave in to her unbelief, and her servant turned around and cursed her. She's probably very tired of waiting, deeply hurt, and just a little bit jaded. So she laughs. But it's not a happy laugh. It's a bewildered and confused laugh. The kind of laugh that you do when you hear something that's ironic or completely absurd. The kind of laugh that lets other people into what's actually going on beneath the surface in your life. And then Sarah gets busted. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?'" And verse 15, but Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And God said, "But she did laugh." Sarah's response is really telling here. Her laughter surfaces the hurt and unbelief that has been lingering beneath the surface in her life for years. She's exposed and vulnerable before the Lord, but she denies it because she is afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid perhaps that God is going to be unhappy with her? Or maybe that he's going to condemn her for her response? Isn't that what we do in our moments of weakness and vulnerability too? Don't we, like Sarah, mask our unbelief and hide our hurt for fear that the Lord will be unhappy with us? Isn't that why we manicure our stories and keep our conversations light, denying how we really feel? Aren't we, like Sarah, afraid that if the Lord knew how we really felt and what we really believed, that he would somehow be unhappy with us? Notice, however, how God responds in verse 14. says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is a moment of weakness for Sarah. She's exposed and vulnerable before the Lord. And you know what the Lord doesn't do here? He doesn't guilt her. He doesn't shame her. He doesn't condemn her or withdraw his presence from her. Instead, he shows her grace. He speaks into her vulnerability and weakness, words of comfort and peace. About this time next year, God says, Sarah shall have a son. And in chapter 21, we see how much grace this moment actually is to Sarah when she names her son Isaac, which means son of laughter. Friends, God doesn't come to punish Sarah. He comes to show her grace. And he wants to do the same for you. If you're here this morning and you are feeling vulnerable and weak and broken, you need to know that you don't have to be afraid. God is not looking to punish you or condemn you. He's looking to show you grace, just like he did for Sarah. Because when God shows up, he comes in grace. That's point one. Here's point two. When God shows up, he comes with a purpose. Here's the question we have to ask when reading Genesis chapter 18. Why doesn't the text just stop at verse 15? If all God wanted to do was show up and confirm for Abraham and Sarah that Sarah was going to have a son, we could just close our Bibles right here and go home. But that's not what happens. Instead, you get this odd kind of inner dialogue between God and maybe himself or the angels that he's present with, followed by this strange conversation between him and Abraham, where Abraham barters for Sodom like he's looking for a souvenir while on vacation in Cabo. Right? Why is all this here? Why does this exist? Here's why. Because God is pulling Abraham into his purposes. Look at verse 17 through 19. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Notice the relationship between becoming and doing here. God wants Abraham to become a certain kind of person by doing certain kinds of things in the world. He wants Abraham to become a great and mighty nation by what he's about to do for Sodom. Michael Jordan didn't become one of the best basketball players of all time by sitting on his couch and watching basketball on TV. He actually had to get out on the court and do something. He had to practice. And that is exactly what God is inviting Abraham to do here. He's inviting him to practice becoming the very person that God has called him to be. Can you see that when God shows up in your life, it's not just to make your life easier or more comfortable? But when God shows up in your life, he does so to pull you into his purposes. He wants you to be a mature, godly disciple of Jesus, and he wants you to become that by doing his will and his work in the world. You see, there's a kind of sanctification that can't happen in the prayer closet, but that can only happen when you get out of your house and into the lives of everyday people. By the way, this is one of the reasons why so many of us feel frustrated and stuck in life right now. Because we fail to see that what we do today affects who we become tomorrow. And I wonder if a lot of our frustration and tension would dissolve if we were to make decisions based on who we were becoming rather than how we feel or what we want in the moment. If you're waiting for God to show up in your life just to make you more comfortable, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Because when God shows up, he does so for reasons bigger than yourself. So when God shows up, he comes in grace. When God shows up, he comes with a purpose. And when God shows up, he often surprises us. Look at verse 20. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Sodom is such a wicked city that the outcry against it has come up to the Lord. So God comes down to see for himself whether or not the accusations are true. He's at the dinner table enjoying a meal with Abraham and Sarah when he hears crying from the other room. So he politely excuses himself from the meal to go see who did what. He's going to judge Sodom for their sin, but he doesn't judge them according to hearsay. He judges according to what their sins deserve, after seeing for himself what they have done. As modern readers, we're surprised to hear that God is going to judge Sodom for their sin. We want God to be more tolerant, more loving, more open-minded. We, like Abraham, rightly ask the question, will not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the answer is yes, he will. That's why he's going to destroy Sodom, because that is what Sodom's sins deserve. That is justice. But that's not what's really surprising here. Look at verse 23. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? And in verse 26, God says, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. The surprise here isn't that God is going to judge Sodom for their sins. The surprise is that God is willing to spare the wicked for the sake of the righteous. He's willing to spare an entire city for the sake of just 50 righteous people. This isn't an excessive use of force against innocent people. This is a demonstration of abundant grace towards ill-deserving sinners. It's a moment of mercy. And it points us forward hundreds of years to a greater moment of mercy that is yet to come. See, hundreds of years after Abraham and Sarah take their final breath, God makes a greater promise to a greater mother about a greater son who's coming with greater grace and a greater purpose with an even greater surprise. Look with me at Luke 1, 30 through 37. It says, and the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That's grace. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There's his purpose. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God. Do you see how God shows up for Joseph and Mary in the same way that he showed up for Abraham and Sarah? God showed up in Mary's life, but he didn't just show up for her. The surprise is that he actually shows up through her in the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. And that, not to condemn us for our sins, but to save us from them through his life, death, and resurrection. In Jesus Christ, God shows up with grace, forgiving our sin, removing our guilt, and clothing us in righteousness. In Jesus Christ, God shows up with a purpose, calling us to himself, making us a people for his own possession, and sending us out on his mission to make disciples of all nations. And in Jesus Christ, God shows up in mercy, sparing the wicked for the sake of the righteous. God couldn't find 10 righteous people by which to spare Sodom. But in Jesus Christ, he's found one righteous person by which to spare the whole world. The good news this morning, friends, isn't so much that God does show up. It's that God has showed up in Jesus Christ. But the real surprise is that God is present with us in a way that Abraham and Sarah could have never imagined. God showed up in Abraham's life for a moment. But listen to what Jesus promises to his disciples in John 14. He says, "Now I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." When Jesus showed up, God, when Jesus was born, God showed up in the person of his Son. And when Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, God shows up through the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who is not only God with us, as Jesus was, but the one who is now God in us. This means that if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. You don't need to wait for God to show up because he already has, through the Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence inside you. You see, Coram Deo isn't just a catchy name for a church. It's a way of life, a way of being present to God, who is always present with us. And if that's true, then God shows up every time you show up. This means that you get to be for somebody else what the Wantings were for me, a tangible expression of God's active presence in our world right now. You can show up to that diagnosis, that hospital room, or that crisis with grace because God is showing up in you. You can show up to your workday, to the dinner table, to baseball practice with purpose because God is showing up in you. You can show up to your gospel community and to Sunday morning worship with a sense of expectation because God is showing up in you. Here's another way of saying what I'm saying this morning. God shows up in the world through his people. I think sometimes we can read the text of Genesis 18 and think to ourselves, man, I wish that God would show up in my life the way he did in Abraham and Sarah's. Sure would be nice if you'd come to my house and eat a meal with me. But don't you see? That's exactly what is happening. God is showing up in your life through his people. He showed up in my life through the Wantings, and he's going to show up in somebody else's life through you. When you bring a meal to somebody in your gospel community who's just had a major life event, God is showing up in grace through you. When you disciple a student or you have a Bible study with a new Christian, God is showing up with a purpose through you. When you have a neighbor over for dinner or you pray with somebody who's just going through a hard time, God is surprising them with his presence through you. So Coram Deo, let's believe the promises of Genesis 18 this morning. That God shows up in our life just like he did for Abraham and Sarah. Let's be the kind of people who show up in grace, speaking hope and peace and comfort to those who are hurting and broken and vulnerable, like God did for Sarah. Let's be the kind of people who show up with a purpose, living for something more than our own comfort, giving our lives away for the mission of God, and doing everything we can to make disciples. Let's be the kind of people who surprise those around us with abundant grace and mercy beyond measure, like God did with Abraham and Sodom. What if, friends, what if Genesis 18 is less about God showing up for you and more about God showing up through you? Can you imagine what our church would be like if every one of us adopted that mentality? Don't you want to find out? Because I sure do. So the next time you find yourself waiting for God to show up, remember, he already has. He did so definitively through his son, Jesus Christ, and he does so continually through the presence of his Holy Spirit in you and in me. Let's acknowledge his presence together now. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are a God who shows up. We thank you that you showed up in Abraham and Sarah's life, as well as Joseph and Mary's. And we thank you that you show up in our life too. We thank you that you have showed up in the person of your Son and that you continually show up through the person of your Holy Spirit. We confess this morning that we are vulnerable and weak and needy, like Sarah. Would you show up for us in grace this morning? We confess that we often lose sight of what you're doing in the world. Would you show up for us with a purpose like you did for Abraham? We confess this morning that we underestimate your kindness and mercy. Would you surprise us with your presence this morning? Make us into a people, O Lord, who show up in grace, who live with purpose, and who surprise the world with mercy and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.